Let's sit down for our regular catch-up with Matt Strigger, the Chief Executive of RNIB. We've got awards to talk about and some news on voting, amongst others as well. Thanks for joining us, Matt.
Hi, Alan. My pleasure as ever.
Let's kick things off then with some health news, and accessible health information is something that RNIB and others have been working on for some time, so that people who are blind or partially sighted can, in essence, get any and all information on health, appointments, information booklets, in accessible formats.
Yeah, that's right. It's a topic we've touched on many times, Alan, over the last few years, I think, you know, which shows the importance and the sort of dogged nature of the work in this space, because this is one of those things that is a slow burn where you've got to keep going. We hosted, I think we talked about the meeting with the Patient Safety Commissioner back at the end of March, which was talking about accessible information around taking medicines, how important that is from a safety perspective, but also a cost perspective, actually. Going back to last year, you know, one of the recommendations we made at the National COVID Inquiry was around accessible information, which would have helped blind and partially sighted people and disabled people be able to be better communicated to, particularly at the start of COVID when there was great uncertainty, and clearly people were very let down by the way that the nation communicated around COVID. On a more sort of day in day out routine basis, we've been very active on with NHS England and devolved nations, all those 43 ICBs, independent commissioning boards, you know, working on the challenges about people not getting routine medical information in an accessible format, which, as we know from many of our employees, never mind our beneficiaries, have had very, very challenging experiences moving through the NHS because of the lack of accessible information. So we've been working alongside a number of partner charities, particularly in the Disability Charity Consortium, where this issue is obviously very relevant for many people, not just visually impaired people. And we are hopeful now that the AIS Implementation Board, which next meets on the 14th of May, is going to take our most recent submissions about the need to keep this at a very robust, ambitious level and not dilute it, which they were threatening to do earlier in the year, but take that to heart and publish an implementation plan, that is to say, not dilute it down to make it more optional. You know, I'm looking forward to coming and speaking to you next week, hopefully confirming that we've got a bit of good news out of that, but that's just the next date in the diary, but an important milestone, I think, and one of which could be the end point almost of a lot of work over a number of years to get to this point. But we will see you next week.
Fingers crossed. I know you've got a few big topics we're going to be discussing next week, but let's look now at voting. May the 1st, there were several different political opportunities for people to cast a vote in England, and again we were looking at accessible ways for blind and partially sighted people to cast their vote independently and in secret, and I believe we were asking people to contribute to the turnout report again.
Yeah, again, it's one of those topics that we've been going on for some time. I remember when I started having meetings with the Scottish Parliament, a few MPs, I remember then various meetings with Tory ministers and civil servants, and we've been pushing this through rounds and rounds of elections. We hosted a session last year with the Electoral Commission and the devolved nations and the civil servants from the Home Office, you know, with a number of different demonstrations, different devices. And so simple message for the listeners will be just to sort of go on the website or find on social media the links to be able to feed your experiences back to us so we can fold those into the next version of our turned out report, which is the vehicle by which we update and are able to then again engage with government and others on the state of voting. We believe this should have been the best experience, although I caveat that by saying we know there's patchy. So in some areas like Bristol in the West, you know, they were using the McGonagall reader, for example. So there was sort of new technology available, but we know that wasn't the case everywhere. And we know that even in those places that were trying to aspire to a higher level, it's still a bit patchy in terms of their ability to deliver that. We've got some good news, as we might have said earlier, about next year, where Wales is looking to be a fully accessible election for the Senedd in 2026. So, you know, these steps we're taking through this process are really important, a bit like the accessible information standard point we were discussing earlier. It doesn't happen overnight, it doesn't fall into your lap in one go, but, you know, that dogged approach, that continuity we bring to this, the expertise we bring to this is really important. We're pushing in the right direction, and the next turned out report will only be helpful in moving us on even more advantageously.
I suppose, like the accessible health information standard, you know, things like changing the voting system, it's hard work, it's a slow burn. Charities like RNIB putting a lot of work into this, but I suppose that there are sort of green shoots of improvement. There is a hope on the horizon that the day isn't that far off when anyone who's blind or partially sighted will know that when they go to the polling station, everything they need will be in place.
We need to keep pushing, because you know, you get to a tipping point whereby suddenly it becomes the norm and not something that's less normal, abnormal. So I think Wales next year is going to be a big tipping point for us, because you have one of the countries in the UK being able to, or aiming to now, and probably will deliver a fully accessible election, which is 3.5 million people in Wales. So that is a powerful motivator and lubricant to get everyone else doing it. And suddenly once you get over a tipping point, you know, it becomes normal. Everyone is surprised that you never did it type thing. I think that the challenges are around cost, because you know, how many, 11,000 polling stations or something across 650 constituencies. It's expensive and difficult to make sure you're putting the same experience in all 11,000 polling stations, where you might not have a visually impaired person or people with other disability turning up to that particular polling station. So people make the argument about, well, you know, it's an expense that we can't afford to take because it's sort of relatively random. But we believe there are ways that you can provide technology, even in clusters, and clearly use of technology has to be a thing that's been looked at going forwards, as opposed to, you know, us all turning up with our stubby pencil in the polling booth. You know, the democratic process is being extended, and actually I think hand in glove with that has to be our ability as a nation to provide visually impaired people with a chance to vote in all those different types of elections, you know, as you say, independently and in secret. So busyness of the democratic landscape is actually a power to our argument to make sure that people feel more enfranchised rather than less enfranchised. So, yeah, as I said earlier, just encouragement to people to feed in their experiences to our report. When we can report back, certainly after the Welsh elections, we're giving a very positive message about a whole country being able to vote in a much more modern way than we've been able to do up to now.
Fingers crossed. We'll give contact details very shortly on that. So let's finish up, though, with some great news for RNIB Connect Radio. We will be attending the ARIAs once again. These are the, I suppose, the Oscars or the BAFTAs of British radio. And once again, the station has been nominated in the category, Matt. Very exciting.
Well, this is where we move into the Mutual Appreciation Society, isn't it? So it's been well done to you and the team. Brilliant. Connect Radio is a jewel in our crown. You know, I personally am really proud of it. And I think, you know, we're doing a lot to try and push it and do more with it. You know, it's a great asset. And I think the quality of it comes through in the recognition, like shortlisting for the award. You know, obviously we won last year, which was great. Community Station of the Year. And now we're up for outside broadcasts because of our Paralympics coverage last summer, which we're very proud of. And we yeah, really push the base out very robustly and absolutely deliberately to provide some great coverage in Paris. Yeah, which I think really broke the mold for us, actually. And I'm sort of not surprised it's been noticed and we've been shortlisted. But, you know, let's hope we've a bit more silverware to bring home. We're up against a tough shortlist, I know. But I think it's a testament to the station, as it was last year, that we are absolutely seen to be in that first division of broadcasters and absolutely on merit in the mix to win prestigious awards. So, you know, it is well done to you, Alan, and seeing you're out in Paris last year, you're part of the reason why we're up for it. And I think it's more power to your elbow. It's a great recognition of the station's quality, and look forward to having a good night in London.
Fingers crossed for that one. Yeah, and a big thanks to the whole team taking part in that as well. We will, of course, keep you updated. Watch out for the social media updates as well on the 14th. However, we are now out of time, but if you want to find out more about RNIB and its services, and indeed you want to feedback on the Turned Out report, do have a look at the website. It's rnib.org.uk. You can call the helpline on 0303 123 9999. And if you have an Amazon Echo device, you can ask Lady A to call RNIB's helpline. I will catch up with you again next week, Matt. But for now, thank you for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
No, my pleasure, Alan, and look forward to having a meaty conversation on a number of topics next week. AIS, some work on health economics we might talk about next week, but particularly looking forward to congratulating the team on bringing home a bit more silverware. Good luck.